Hey, this is Jason.
This is Bryce from Lifehouse, and you're listening to The Positive Psychology of Pop Music.
What day is it? And in what month? This clock never seems so alive.
Hello, and welcome to another brand new episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music. I am Wesley Ryan, and in the next hour, I'll be taking you on an uplifting and inspiring journey through some amazing music and my exclusive interview with the very busy folks who made it, the guys of Lifehouse. In just the last few weeks, Jason Wade, Bryce Soderbergh, and Ricky Wolstenholme Jr. kicked off a brand new 33-city U.S. tour alongside co-headliner Switchfoot, released a Greatest Hits album featuring 18 phenomenal tracks, and took the time to chat with yours truly about creating 17 years of amazing songs, the equally exciting plans they have on the way, and the power of music to get us through our darkest times. But before we get to my interview with Jason and Bryce, I want to kick off the show with two of my personal favorite Lifehouse tracks. From their brand new Greatest Hits release, here they are with First Time and Everything.
We're both looking for something we've been afraid to find. It's easier to be broken. It's easier to hide.
Would you tell me how could it be?
That was Everything from Lifehouse, who I'm thrilled to spotlight on this week's episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music. It's also the perfect song to kick off my exclusive interview with Lifehouse's Jason Wade and Bryce Soderbergh. I was excited to chat with the guys about that song and so many others you'll find on Lifehouse's brand new Greatest Hits album, available now, by the way, and to find out what other artists have inspired their own music and lives.
Hey, Wesley, how's it going? This is Jason and Bryce from Lifehouse.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, doing great. I wasn't sure if your name was Ryan Wesley, if I was reading more Wesley Ryan.
I get that a lot. You can call me whatever you want. I've been called worse, so.
No, Wesley Ryan. How's it going?
It's going well. I know you guys are doing a lot of press, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk.
Sure, no problem. Where are you at today?
I'm in Panama City Beach, Florida.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, I imagine it's got to be a fun time for you guys right now with the Greatest Hits album dropping July 14th. How does it feel to have created so many songs that connect with people so well and make them feel understood?
I mean, 16 years into our career right now, and we've been taking breaks over the past 2 years. We have this offer for this tour this summer with Switchfoot and Greatest Hits collection coming out right now. We're extremely grateful to have been around this long to still be able to make music for a living and connect with our audiences and you know, kind of have a package of a collection of all of the songs that have stood out to us over the past 16 years. It's something that a lot of bands really don't get the opportunity to do, and we have. And we're just having a great time right now. We're getting ready for the tour. We're getting ready to promote this Greatest Hits. And yeah, it's a really positive place that we're in right now.
Well, I definitely want to talk about some of those songs, but I want to go all the way back to the beginning, before Lifehouse, before Bliss even, and see whose music influenced you guys growing up.
Yeah, well, it was funny. For me, I was kind of a late bloomer when it came to pop music and rock music. I was kind of sheltered as a kid. My parents were missionaries, so they didn't let us listen to regular music until I was, like, out of the house, like, 16, 17, and then I just became a sponge. I got obsessed with the Seattle bands like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, the Beatles, Simon and Garfunkel. It was like a 3 or 4 year period where I was just like absorbing every artist that I could get my hands on. Elliott Smith is one of my favorites too that I started listening to when I was around 17.
Drink up, baby, stay up all night with the things you could do. You won't, but you might. The potential you.
Well, to go from being inspired by some of those legends to influencing millions of listeners in the same way with Hanging by a Moment, how did it feel to have the number one song of 2001, especially so young?
Yeah, it was surreal, you know. During that time, like I said, it was such like a musical education for me. I was like absorbing all of this music, and as well as writing this music and kind of interpreting what I was listening to. So a lot of the early stuff kind of had that kind of post-grunge feel to it, but I wasn't in the mindset of thinking about success or hits. I didn't look at it in those terms. I was more of the mindset of just trying to come up with something that was that would make me feel something or have an outlet for a lot of the stuff that I went through my childhood. My parents got divorced, kind of like to make sense of stuff around me that was happening, and I just happened to write Hangin' By a Moment, and it was at a time where it felt like I really kind of channeled the song, and I just felt like it really moved me, and then in doing that, I felt like it moved other people. As soon as it hit the radio, it just kind of took off. It was really a surreal time. I'm falling even more in love with you, letting go of all I've held on to. I'm standing here until you make me.
Well, you know, You and Me is a romantic song that I've had many a slow dance to, but you mentioned channeling your own experiences into your music, but you have a special meaning with that song as well, right?
Yeah, I wrote that song when I was 18, 19 years old, and it was the song that I proposed to my girlfriend, who's now been my wife of 16 years. So I've always said, like, if a song is going to mean anything to anybody else, it has to mean something to you first. And, you know, it's funny, I the first version of that song was just on a cassette tape, and I busted out the boombox and hit play, and it was the first version of You and Me before anybody ever heard it. And it, funny enough, it didn't make our first or second record, so the song kind of lay dormant. It was always special to me, but as soon as we started the third record, it ended up on that album and just really resonated with a lot of people and ended up becoming a big wedding song. It's you and me and all our people.
I can't keep my eyes off of you. Well, you know, speaking of meaningful connections, the track you guys did with Natasha Bedingfield is one of my favorites, Between the Raindrops. Bryce, what was it like to create such a beautiful song with her?
I mean, we've been friends with Natasha for a few years prior. We'd done some shows with her, and we were big fans of her music, and we'd never really done a collaboration on any of our records or any of our songs before, so she really came to mind when we had wrote the song, and she came into the studio after we called and invited her to come in. She was very, very gracious and came in, and she put down the first take on the track. We really realized that you know, it was a perfect fit for the song. She's a wonderful person, a great artist, and it being the one song that we've had like a female collaboration on, it was really cool to see her in action.
Well, you know, so many great pop and rock songs are about love, but I also love that you guys are able to connect about other things as well. Talk to me a little about From Where You Are and what that song means to you guys.
I wrote From Where You Are when we were, I believe we were doing pre-production in Nashville for a tour, and we had the opportunity to write something for the Allstate safe driving campaign. And as soon as they said that, I wasn't super inspired, you know, but as soon as I saw the clip of all of, it was like hundreds of these teenagers driving in the desert, it was really kind of an eerie spot. There wasn't any music to it, there was just all these teenagers in slow motion driving in the desert, and at the end of the clip, it says, you know, so many thousand teenagers go out for a drive every single year and never come back. And I just got the chills, and I picked up the guitar, and From Where You Are came out of that. I really connected to that because I had a friend die in a car accident when I was 16. So, yeah, I just feel like inspiration is kind of everywhere. It can come from a movie, a book, dreams, like pretty much anywhere as long as you're looking for it. But yeah, the song just kind of came out of nowhere, and that was always one of my favorite Lifehouse songs.
Well, you know, we're exposed to so many important messages like that through commercials or through stories, but one of the things I love about music is music becomes a part of who you are. So if the message is in a song, you know, it's so much stronger.
Yeah, totally. I think that's what we love about music, especially universal music that, you know, you can kind of interpret the lyrics however you want. I love songs like that because, you know, as a listener, you're interpreting the song through your own experiences and through your own life, you know, and I think that's the beautiful thing about music is it can mean a thousand different things to a thousand different people.
The song you're about to hear is certainly very moving when considering those who've lost their lives behind the wheel of a car. But it's also helped people deal with so many other forms of loss and grief. I think it is so beautiful when a songwriter can take one specific source of inspiration and turn it into a song that not only helps people in that situation deal with their emotions, but helps an even larger number of folks through situations the writer never intended. So many of the songs that have saved my life were written with very different situations in mind than the ones I was going through, but the impact they had was no less powerful. And with this track, Lifehouse hasn't just saved lives by inspiring people to drive more safely. They've reached millions of listeners in beautiful and moving ways they'll never know. And I suspect it will happen a few more times as I play this track for you now. With the very inspiring From Where You Are, this is Lifehouse.
So far away from where you are, these miles have torn us worlds apart. Wouldn't I miss you?
Yeah, well, another song that I think does that so well is Broken, and I've struggled with depression and a lot of anxiety in my life. So for me, that song, you know, represents music and how it gets me through. So I'm imagining music gets you guys through a lot of those moments too, but what else motivates you in those darkest times?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone goes through their personal struggles, and we're no rookies to that sort of environment in our lives. And our music, we have the opportunity to kind of channel our struggles or our times of, you know, indifference with certain things that we're going through. And Broken is kind of a catalyst to Jason, especially. I think Jason flew out to, was it Nashville?
Visit
a friend who needed a new kidney and was on dialysis. And I think that song was one of the few that he had written that was channeled just from the deepest point of inspiration, you know, based on what he was going through at the time, his friend. And I remember him calling me up and playing the song over the phone, and I got the chills. And it's a very special song to us, and a lot of our fans come up to us after our shows and point out that that's their favorite song, or it's gotten them through a personal struggle or something. And you know, it's really cool to have songs that come from that raw place of inspiration that you can tell when they connect with us, they connect with others. And Broken is one of those songs.
I found too, Leslie, because I've dealt with anxiety pretty much my whole life, and I feel like music is such a calming, centering source. You know, it's like whenever I feel that anxiety coming on, just putting on a certain song or even a soundtrack, it's just like there's something about it that just kind of, kind of brings you back into the moment.
Yeah, well, you know, it helps me process my own feelings, but then also, especially with social anxiety, if I know someone has a similar musical style, you know, I can talk to a stranger and say, oh, I love this Lifehouse song, Broken, and then boom, instant connection, so.
Yeah, it's so funny, man. I think that as humans, our biggest fear is feeling disconnected or being afraid of other people or what they're going to think of you. And it's such a powerful thing to realize that everybody deals with the same emotions, you know, and everybody is on the same wavelength. We just have different ways of kind of hiding it and different armor to protect ourselves from other people. But at the end of the day, it's like we're all breathing the same air. We're all made of the same stuff, you know.
This next track, and what the guys of Lifehouse had to say about it, represents every single thing I love about music. It helps the artists who create it channel their own fears and pain. It helps the listeners who hear it feel understood and process their feelings. And it reminds us all that deep down, we really are the same. We're afraid of the same things, we're hurt by the same things, and we're healed by the same things. And for me, and I know so many of you, a moving song is the quickest and most direct way to lift me up when I need it the most. So I'm happy to play one for you now that I hope inspires you as much as it does me. This is Lifehouse with Broken.
The broken clock is a comfort. It helps me sleep tonight. Maybe it can stop tomorrow from stealing all my time.
It's great for me to hear some of the stories behind the songs I know so well. Are there any other tracks that maybe weren't your hugest hits that have a really special meaning to you?
Well, Broken is probably the biggest one for me. Hanging by a Moment, I always kind of feel in debt to in some way because it kind of put us on the map and was the catalyst or the vehicle to get all of our other songs heard. Another song that was kind of big for that time. Around that time for me was Six Cycle Carousel too. A lot of the songs on the first record, they were just so deep and meaningful, and was coming from a place of pain, but that pain was kind of getting transmuted into something positive.
If shame on a face, I think you would kind of look like mine. If it had a home, would it be my eyes? Would you believe me if I said I'm tired?
It must be very, I think, great, but then also just introspective and odd to some degree to play, you know, 17 years worth of songs like you're getting ready to do on your upcoming Looking for Summer tour. What's that going to feel like for you, just looking back on such a huge part of your life?
Well, we're gonna be finding out here in a couple of weeks. The machine's starting to get rolling again. We haven't done a tour in the United States in 6-7 years, so we're really excited, obviously, to get out and play for our fans who've been around. There's obviously kind of a new surge of a new generation of fans that are coming around too, with, you know, YouTube, social media, Pandora, and streaming. So we're gonna get out there, and we're gonna be playing a lot of our greatest hit songs and connecting with our audience again. And I mean, on a personal level, I you know, this is kind of what I feel like I was put here to do, is to play music and connect with other people. And I think as a whole, we all kind of share that same sort of passion on stage, where most of the songs we're playing for the audience, and, you know, a couple obviously for ourselves, but you know, it's a very interactive sort of environment, and yeah, it's going to be an exciting time.
Have you guys toured with Switchfoot before? What's it going to be like to tour with them? Any collaborations on stage, maybe?
Yeah, we did one show with them, I think like 10 years ago at a college in the Midwest, and it was a fantastic experience. We just never had the opportunity to play other shows with them. And then we just played a show with them, just an acoustic show at their festival they put on yearly called Bro-Am. And they raised $200,000 for, you know, kids in need in San Diego. That was an awesome experience. And that's kind of what they're all about. Like, they make great music, but they are very much about the connection and giving, and they're wonderful people to be around too. They're just like all positive and happy and upbeat, and you're in a good mood when you're hanging out with them. So I'm sure it's going to be a great summer. We're going to probably have some barbecues and maybe some collaborations on stage and just good times.
I'm definitely excited to catch both Lifehouse and Switchfoot live for the very first time, and I hope to see you there. You can check out the tour dates and grab tickets for the show at lifehousemusic.com, but until then, allow me to play a mini back-to-back Lifehouse Switchfoot extravaganza for you now. Let's check out Halfway Gone from Lifehouse and one of my all-time favorite Switchfoot tracks, Dare You to Move.
Well, I've actually never seen you or Switchfoot, so I'm excited to get down there. Probably September, I think, is when I'm going to try to see you.
Oh, awesome, man. Come say hi.
I would love to. It's been so cool looking back and just listening to all of your great music. What is on the horizon for you? What do you hope is headed your way in the next few years?
Probably another Lifehouse record. We were toying around with maybe doing like a Christmas album in the future, but probably it's just going to be another Lifehouse record, either next year or the year after that. We're already starting to kind of think about it.
Well, I would love some new music, but now you've got my wheels turning about a Lifehouse Christmas sound. That's pretty intriguing, too. So I'm happy either way.
Guys, we're talking about it the other day. We've covered some interesting Christmas songs throughout the years. We did a John Lennon song. We did a U2 cover. And it's kind of fun to put your own sort of Lifehouse spin on even some of the classics, too. So it's such a fun time of year that I think that it might be a fun like interpretation of our style of music, but with Christmas music.
Well, I'll be buying it whether it's Christmas related or not. I'm just such a huge fan of you guys, and I appreciate you taking the time to chat.
Thanks, Wesley. Appreciate it, man.
Whether we get a new Lifehouse studio album or a Lifehouse Christmas project on the horizon, I will be one happy camper. It makes me even happier when bands who not only make great music, but who also truly inspire their listeners, are still able to do what they love more than anything. And it makes me even happier than that to be able to do what I love more than anything. And that is this show. If you've enjoyed this episode, remember, you can head to thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com for more inspiring music and exclusive interviews from your favorite artists. And you can grab brand new episodes of the show every Wednesday at that site and on iTunes. Next week, I'm thrilled to share new music from and my interview with the one and only Tiffany. I hope you'll tune in, and I hope you enjoy one last track from Lifehouse to close out this episode. It's another one of my favorites from their just-released Greatest Hits album, and it's a reminder to put as much energy as we can into the things that mean the most to us. I hope it inspires you, and again, thanks to each and every one of you for listening. For the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with whatever it takes, this is Lifehouse.